Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Info Edge Limited Q3 FY15 results conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our third quarter results conference call. We will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company. Then we will cover each business in more detail. In the end, we'll be happy to take questions. For the standalone company, net sales in Q3 were rupees 146 crores versus rupees 123 crores in the same quarter last year, an increase of 18%. For Q3, operating EBITDA was at 36 crores, a decrease of 14% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margin was at 24% versus 34% in Q3 last year, mainly on account of higher people cost and higher spend on advertising, especially in the 99acres business. Other income has jumped since then, as we had mentioned in the Q2 call. We have deployed the QIP funds in the growth option and switched the same to dividend reinvest option in Q3. PAT in Q3 was at 38 crores, up 19% year-on-year. Operating PAT was at 20 crores, down 17% year-on-year. And operating PAT margin was at 14% versus 20% in the same quarter of last year. Deferred sales revenue has decreased to rupees 143 crores versus rupees 147 crores as of September 30th, but is up 20% year-on-year from rupees 119 crores. Cash and cash equivalents on the balance sheet were about 1,245 crores. We disbursed about 184 crores, being the investment in Zomato early this month. The Naukri growth continues to sustain, and as the environment improves, we expect the growth to improve further. Real estate, though, is sluggish, with markets like Noida and Gurgaon showing hardly any growth. Moving on to the performance by vertical, please note that all business-wise numbers are estimates and are not audited. Recruitment top line in Q3 grew by 19% year-on-year to rupees 108 crores. EBITDA margins in recruitment were at 49%, similar to that in Q3 of last year. In Naukri, the EBITDA margin was at 51%. In Naukri, in Q3, we added an average of 9,400 fresh CVs every day, and the Naukri database grew to over 40 million CVs. The average CV modifications in Naukri were at 124,000 per day. The Naukri Job Seeker Index was at 1,425 in December 2014 versus 1,296 in December 2013. In Q3, we serviced about 31,000 unique customers in Naukri, up from 27,000 in Q3 of last year. In the 9 months ended December 31, 2014, we serviced 49,000 unique customers versus 43,000 in the same period last year. Our new products like the Career Site Manager and the Referral Hiring App continue to do well. The mobile app also has good traction and continues to grow in terms of downloads and engagement. Moving on to the real estate vertical, in the 99acres business, net sales grew 20% year-on-year in Q3 to 23 crores. The 99acres business made an EBITDA loss of rupees 14.4 crores in Q3. This loss is on account of continued investments in sales expansion, service, product and technology, and branding, the cost of which is expensed out every quarter. This loss may increase depending on the kind of investments we incur going forward. Paid listings in Q3 were at 5.8 lakhs versus 5.4 lakhs in Q3 of last year. Traffic from mobile phone and 99acres is about 33% of total traffic. Like we mentioned last time, we continue to invest aggressively in the business in various areas. We've strengthened the management team and have a new business head in 99acres. We have expanded verification of listings to more cities. We're continuously working on improving our data quality and reducing spam. The map search went live for various cities last quarter. The sales team continues to expand. we'll keep updating you on the developments in this business from time to time. In Jeevan Sathi, net sales grew 9.5% in Q2 and reached 9.7 crores. There was an EBITDA loss, a slight EBITDA loss in Jeevan Sathi. In Shiksha, net sales grew by 6%. Moving on to our strategic investments, our investee companies continue to witness solid growth. We announced an investment of nearly 184 crores in Zomato, which was disbursed earlier this month. This investment was routed through a wholly owned subsidiary of InfoEdge. We believe that given this, that the amount of investments are increasing, and for some so it is the market value, it may be prudent to transfer each such investment into a specific SPV and to route further investments through such SPVs. We are studying the various implications of this option. Our investing companies continue to evaluate if they need to raise more funds, and we continue to carefully evaluate all investment opportunities, mainly in the Indian internet market. To summarize, the job market continues to show signs of picking up. Growth is coming mainly from IT and some other sectors. We expect the other sectors to also pick up with time. We also continue to gain share from other forms of recruiting and from competition. Our competitive position in Naukri continues to be strong, and our new product launches will help us tap new sources of revenue. As GDP growth picks up, we should benefit phenomenally going forward. Our investments, especially in product development, will continue to help us maintain and strengthen our leadership position. In 99acres, we continue to invest aggressively in various areas like verified listings, better UI and design, improved products and features on the site, the mobile platform, the platform for new projects, analytics, etc. We expect more such product rollouts in the future. The 99acres growth in Q3 slowed down due to the uncertain market conditions, especially in certain markets. But we hope to continue to invest in the business, and we expect to growth to come back in a couple of quarters. We continue to invest in Jeevan Sathi and Shiksha as well. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We have first question from the line of Gaurav Malhotra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Just had a couple of questions. In the backdrop that Naukri top line has remained quite strong, any particular reason why the EBITDA margins in the recruitment have gone down by one percentage points? That's one. And the second bit is, in terms of your cash and equivalents in your balance sheet, it's around 1,260 crores. So this does not include the impact of the 184 crores in Zomato investment. Is that correct? And lastly, if you could also give us some thought process on this whole SPV structure and what it means for the standalone entity. Thank you.
Yeah, to answer your first question on EBITDA margins in Naukri going down by about 1%. See, we don't really target margins on a quarter-on-quarter basis. We have an investment plan in Naukri. We are investing aggressively in new product development. So sometimes, you know, if we expect at least growth to be 20% plus going forward. So we should be okay as long as growth is between in the 15 to 20% range. But we really don't target, EBITDA margins on a quarterly basis. Sometimes we may come over 50, 52% depending on the advertising spend in a particular quarter. Sometimes we may go a little under as well. Your second question was on this 1245 crores and whether it includes... And this 1245 is after the 184 crore investment?
No, sir. That happened in January. So what had happened till December end was 48 crores, which was by way of a loan to Zomato. And then in January, we disbursed the entire 184. And that loan came back.
So that's why your short-term loans and advances has gone up.
Correct. Yes.
So this should normalize. And the entire... So 48 crores was in the short-term loans and advances, right?
Yes.
And the cumulative amount in Zomato is how much?
It is around 184 crores.
In this round.
Okay.
Before this round, it was 142.
Okay. And you said before this round was 142?
142 or 144, and then you add to that this 184.
Okay. So total investment in Zomato till date is about 325 crores, approximately.
Yeah. And this SPV, if you could just explain.
So right now this SPV is a wholly owned subsidiary, and when we have invested through this wholly owned subsidiary company.
No, Hitesh was mentioning something of you trying different options and what it means for the standalone entity. Will it be that the SPV will not be fully owned by Info Edge, will have some investments from some other entities as well?
So we are right now, as you know, Hitesh said, that we are exploring that, and we just thought that we will let you know that we are looking at the implications of different SPVs. But right now all that we have and the current investment that we have made is through a wholly owned subsidiary company.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Srivatsan Ramachandran from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the competitive scenario we're seeing in real estate. Do you think this will in some form kind of play out on lower growth rates or more pressure on realization? Just wanted to understand because most of them are raising capital. Just wanted to understand your thought process.
Yeah, so there are two or three things at play here. One, of course, the real estate market is currently very tight, especially in cities like Delhi and Mumbai and Chennai. So that's really that's impacting realizations to some extent because transactions have gone down year on year. Of course, competitive activity has also increased. So the cost of lead acquisition has gone up. The market has become a little irrational. This is putting pressure on one, of course, top line and also bottom line. And thirdly, you know, we are continuing to make long-term investments in the business, which will not have an impact on the top line in the short term, but will sort of improve the user experience on our site for consumers and will help the business in the medium term. So those will continue as well. So yes, there could be a period in between where, the top line, where growth in real estate sort of is impacted to some extent and the expenditure continues as usual.
Sure. And on the Jeevansathi business, just wanted to understand what would be the medium-term trajectory looking at it. We've been making multiple changes, but either growth or profitability seems to be eluding in a meaningful manner. So just wanted management start.
So actually, while the business is not growing rapidly, we are not losing a lot of money in the business anymore. So this year till date, I think we've lost only about 3 crores in the Jeevansathi business. In the last quarter, we lost less than a crore. So we are trying to sort of see how we can get closer to break even. So we are, while we are not making any big changes, we are working aggressively on the mobile platform and that's helping. And we are sort of tweaking the site a little bit and improving our marketing efficiencies to see if we can get to break even. So we are not there as yet, but we are not losing a lot of money anymore.
Sure, I'll come back later. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of RSN from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Firstly, if I look at on 99acres, the proportion of paid listings has been coming down over the last few quarters. So I think it used to be around 80%. This quarter, it's come down to around 70%. Any specific reasons for that? Or, I mean, if you could discuss that part in a little more detail.
Yeah, two things. One is, of course, we are focusing a lot more on owner listings, and owner listings are free, but they add to the quality of listings on the site. And many people want to get in touch with owners directly, so they improve the user experience for the people who visit our site. Owner listings are free, but they help us get traffic, and they, generally sort of add to the quality of the site. The owner listings have been growing at a fast pace, which is why the ratio of paid to total listings has fallen. Secondly, we are not so much focused on getting more and more listings. We have, I think, enough listings from every part of the country. Increasingly, our focus is to get better quality, to cut spam, to reduce junk. And so this may result in listing sort of moving south also going forward as we tighten the screws on the site.
Okay. Secondly, the other income, is this a more normalized number given the large amount of cash and investments on your balance sheet? Is this sort of range or the percentage will be similar going forward?
It could. So, from the normal 9 or 10 that it used to be, it went up to 25. The 15 increase is because of the QIP funds, But as we mentioned, we had put them in growth options. So this amount is gross of tax, the 15. Now we have gone into what is called the dividend reinvest. So it will therefore be net of tax, but which means 15 would be down to around 10. So 10 plus 9, possibly 18 to 20 in a quarter. Of course, depending on rates and depending on where the corpus moves, or if we end up investing in, in other companies, then that amount could be lower.
Right. Thirdly, you talked about mobile traffic being 33% in 99acres. What's that number for Naukri and Zomato?
So Naukri is closer to 40%. The Zomato number I don't have offhand, but we'll get back to you on that.
Sure. And lastly, if you could just talk a little about the Urban Spoon acquisition. I mean, what was the thinking and, you know, what it could do for your U.S. business?
So Zomato didn't have U.S. business till now. And so Urban Spoon is, clear market leader in Australia, in Canada. And it is number two in the U.S., although in several cities outside of New York and the Bay Area, it is number one. So I think the acquisition was justified on its own purely because of the Australia and Canada businesses. The fact that it's number two in the U.S., I think, makes the deal even sweeter. And the logic is that, look, Zomato has entered UK organically, and, you know, it has been an uphill battle. And therefore, the only way, a better way to enter a developed market like the U.S. would be through an acquisition of a number two player. And Zomato felt that this was a kind of hidden gem to underprice because the good asset had not been leveraged and monetized properly. Revenue growth was flat, traffic growth was flat. Traffic growth was flat, revenue growth was not flat, but revenue was not anything compared to what it could have been for a kind of asset like this if they put in a field sales force and they modified the product a bit. Zomato has also, over the years, on its own and through acquisitions in other markets, added a couple of new products to its portfolio, which would then add to the business model in all markets around the world, including the U.S. eventually. So the rationale was large market, good opportunity, under-leveraged asset, got it very cheap, although it was a competitive bid, and, if it had not been a competitive bid, you got it even cheaper, and therefore they decided to go ahead with it.
Right. And does Urban Spoon do reservations as well? I mean, or is it just a, classified?
So Urban Spoon is a mere restaurant information and discovery kind of site. It does not even have menu cards. And the only monetization model is it runs Google Ads. It does not have a field sales force, and it has got 39 employees only. And therefore, given the kind of traffic, the Zomato team felt that it was under-leveraged in terms of monetization.
Right. Okay, thanks. Thanks a lot. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Dheeresh Pathak from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you. On 99acres, can you just talk about the, the traffic trends in the last few months?
Traffic has been healthy. We look at 99acres as three separate businesses. There is a new homes piece, as in homes under construction. There is a resale piece and there is a rental piece. Traffic in 99acres has been growing year on year. If you look at the overall traffic share, it's been in the 30s. Percent. If you define competition as the top five or six sort of players in this space, the average for last year may have been around 35%, or for the last 9 months would be about 35% or so. But I think increasingly what is happening is that transactions are slowing down, and there are therefore limited number of buyers, and there is a lot of competition to get those buyers onto the site, and it's getting more and more expensive. So as irrationality creeps in, because people are willing to pay a lot to get those buyers on the platform. So somewhere sort of we have to take a call on to what extent are we willing to sort of go to acquire this traffic.
Right. And when you say 30%, now this is inclusive of, mobile app and desktop traffic.
Well, this is, when I say 30%, this is actually what Comscore reports. Comscore does not do a very good job of reporting mobile traffic. This traffic also includes rental, resale and new homes. We don't know what the mix is for different players. Some players could be more focused on rental traffic, which is cheaper and easier to get. while others could be more focused on buyer traffic, which is harder and more expensive to get. So this is a number which Comscore reports. Frankly, you know...
And it's a national number. You don't know breakups by
city. And you don't know breakups by city, nothing. And, you know, and it can easily sort of, you know, you can easily buy visitors also. So, but this is one number which is independent, which one could look at. But this is not to say that this is a true and accurate reflection of the real market share in the market.
Okay. What is your internal sense in terms of the app and mobile traffic? Are you, you would still, would be competitive in that metric as well, or would other players be more having that traffic more?
No, we think we're doing a good job on the mobile phone. So, you know, we have an Android app, we have an iPhone app, our mobile traffic is also growing. We believe the mobile site is more sort of conducive for rental traffic. Because, you know, that is sort of a more immediate need and people are on the move. When they buy a property, on the other hand, they take months to decide and they do a lot of research. So, of course, they use a mobile phone also, but a lot of that traffic is on the desktop as well. So, again, it's different in different categories, but we believe that we are reasonably competitive. Like I said, about a third of our traffic is on the phone and it's growing.
Okay. And how much of that is from the app?
About a third of that would be from the app right now.
Okay. And apart from traffic share, are there other, you know, can you just talk about what other metrics are you monitoring now that there is going to be hyper competition to make sure that, you know, obviously you have a feel of the market because you have a field force. But apart from that, is there anything else, you know, that you're monitoring that, that can sort of, you know, give us a measurement of how we are, you know, featuring versus the competition?
Well, we monitor many things, and we, so one, of course, like I said, we monitor traffic by segment. So we monitor resale traffic, we monitor traffic of people interested in buying new homes, rentals. Then we monitor traffic by city. Our market shares could be different in different cities. Then, of course, we look at, you know, the number of uniques who visit our site, and then the frequency of their visit. We also look at the number of inquiries we are able to generate, the number of unique inquiries we generate, the quality of inquiries we generate. So, I mean, we as an operating team look at 30, 40 different metrics. It will track the business on a daily basis.
Is it possible to add some of those metrics to your data sheet?
But there is some information we're comfortable sharing, which we will definitely share with you. But there is stuff which is confidential, which we would not be in a position to declare.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Srinivas Seshadri from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks to the management for the call. Firstly, just wanted to understand, Hitesh, you mentioned that Shiksha, the sales growth has slowed down to about 6% year on year. You earlier mentioned on the call that you need to kind of reinvent the business model. Can you give some update on what are the initiatives which are being taken and when can we expect it to get back to a higher growth path?
The one, I just want to say that Shiksha is a very seasonal business, so there's a lot of seasonality and Q3 is normally our weakest quarter. So I think one sort of we should look at Shiksha growth on a full year basis, and I think we're going to be around the 20% mark, which is what has what we've done in the first 9 months. But I think you're right that, you know, we need to sort of, like I said in the last call also, we need to sort of figure out the business model in a little more detail. While our traffic has been growing, our visitors have been growing, you know, to grow the business beyond a certain size, we need to discover new ways to monetize the traffic. We are closely looking at, we've identified four or five different segments in which we sort of want to operate. MBAs, engineering, private universities for undergrad and study abroad. Another one we're exploring is student counseling. So in a couple of these segments, we think we can do a lot better than what we're doing right now. And we are sort of figuring that out. But it might take a couple of quarters for sort of us to figure that out.
Hopefully. Fine. The second question is on the Urban Spoon acquisition. Is there any numbers you can share on the financials? I understand that it has been under-monetized, but just to give some sense on what basis the valuation was done for this acquisition, it would be really
helpful. The valuation, I think, was more on the basis of the traffic they have. They're you know, Sanjeev just mentioned, they're a leader in many markets in the U.S., in certain cities and so on. They're also leaders in terms of traffic on... In Canada and Australia. They have some revenue, which I don't want to report disclose right now, but it's not very significant. So I think it's more the opportunity to sort of leverage this brand and this customer base, which Urban Spoon already has, and to combine with some of the things that have been discovered and which Zomato does a very good job of, which if they take to this site in these markets, they can probably build a very good business and a very strong business in times to come.
Okay. Or maybe I can ask it in a different way. Like, you made a couple of acquisitions recently, that is through Zomato, and you had earlier indicated that you're kind of targeting about 85 to 90 crore of revenue run rate for the year. So if you can kind of just update it based on whatever has happened in the last few months, I mean, if there is any number to share based on that.
So the revenue estimate for the year remains similar. It's in the region of 80 to 90 crores. Of course, we will know, you know, there's still 3 months to go. And so it seems to be ending in a fairly robust year with continuous growth coming in. While today the bulk of the revenue is from two markets, India and UAE, I think the way the some of the other markets are trending, you know, where Zomato is a market leader, is a traffic leader, where revenue from the market is trending is very, very encouraging. I think next year you might see a slightly different scenario with a significant percentage coming from markets outside India and UAE. The Zomato team tells us that, we have no reason to say that even at this base, revenue growth is going to slow down in the next 1 or 2 years. Having said that, look, it's still early stage, it's still a young company, and, you know, these things are discovered as you go along. And sometimes you meet your projections, sometimes you miss them a bit. But I think the revenue trends are very, very robust. I think the key is if you can get to traffic leadership, sometimes you may delay sales execution a bit. Sometimes you may make a couple of mistakes in sales execution and, you know, it may be 6 months late. But eventually sales do happen. So I think it's looking very good.
Sure. The third question is on the collections trend. So if I look at what's happened in the first half, the collections were growing at about 23-24%, and this quarter it's come off to about 17%. So if you can just kind of give some qualitative color of whether the slowdown was entirely driven by 99acres, or is there some kind of a Naukri element as well to this number? And from that perspective, do you see further potential slowdown in 99acres for the rest of the year or the next 2-3 quarters?
Well, the bulk of the slowdown in collections is on account of 99acres. So you're sure maybe Shiksha would have made a slight difference here and there. Naukri may be plus or minus 1%, but that's about it. The bulk of the slowdown is on account of 99acres. It's hard to predict what is going to happen in Q4 in 99acres. If the market starts to recover, if we, you know, execute well, we've, like I said, you know, we've put a good solid team in place. We've got a new business head. We are confident as we go into this quarter. If the competition continues to be irrational, we'll have to see how we want to shape this business going forward. So it's very hard to predict what is going to happen in Q4 and 99acres.
Okay, thanks. I'll come back with more questions later. Thanks.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Omkar Hilkat from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, it's Sandeep here from Edelweiss. Happy New Year to the management team. Sir, I have a couple of questions. First on the Urban Spoon acquisition. I know you can't give much details on the financial side, but if strategically, when you say that, you know, some of the leverages which we can do with Zomato there, do you mean that, you know, we will be trying to add the benefits like, you know, putting the menu for Urban Spoon also going by very different kind of review? Means I know there is a lot of review which is there already, but we are planning to make some changes on that look and feel and add some features on that side. And secondly, also as you said that, you know, Google Ad is the only way to monetize right now. So what are your plans to monetize? Will it be a listing kind of thing going forward? And third, sir, on the coming back to Jeevan Sathi, I know you said that, you know, you are losing very less money now, but what is the future? How do you see the future of this business? Because we are trying to, you know, kind of break even for a long time now. So even after breaking even, what will be the growth and all those questions, if you can add some light on that.
So, you know, I'll talk about Zomato and then Hitesh can address Jeevan Sathi question. So on Zomato, you know, I think some of these things will become clearer even to us, you know, in the coming weeks and months. But in general, I think what Zomato has found is a template that has worked in many markets as far as business model and monetization and even content strategy is concerned. And yes, the fact that Urban Spoon has got a good brand, it's got a lot of good URL, it's got a fair bit of traffic, it's got a lot of listings, and it's got a large number of reviews. All these are assets. And will sort of help Zomato in the US when it sort of figures out its content strategy there. But what we have observed about Zomato in its other markets is that, look, the monetization model in most markets ends up converging to being almost the same, although some components in some markets may be added earlier and in some other markets later. So I would imagine, and this is right now is just a surmise, we haven't got into a deep dive with the Zomato team yet on this, I would imagine that that would also play out in the US, but I guess this will be confirmed in the weeks and months to come.
Okay, and so just before you answer my Jeevan Sathi question, just one more question again on Urban Spoon only. So do you think that your initial next few quarters for Zomato team and you will be more to, you know, scale up Zomato in those geographies along with, you know, kind of integrating the apps and probably, you know, Urban Spoon apps need also a lot of changes to align with Zomato or vis-a-vis or vice versa. So will that be priority or you are looking immediately to go for monetization strategy?
So I think as far as Urban Spoon is concerned, you know, like I said, I think right now the Zomato team is taking stock on how best to integrate, how the data should migrate, what more data needs to be collected, you know, how the app should migrate, if it should migrate, you know, all of those things are yet to be determined. So it's a little early because the acquisition has only just happened.
Okay, thank you. So on Jeevan Sathi, my question.
So on Jeevan Sathi, right now our focus is on breaking even, on getting as close to break even as possible. So we are looking at how we can optimize our spending on the marketing side, which is a large part of the spend in Jeevan Sathi. We're looking at how we can improve our realizations. We're you know, working on how to improve our mobile app to get more engagement from users. Once we sort of get closer to break even, it will give us more confidence to implement some of the other strategies we have, which we are not implementing right now because we want to see the current ones work before we start investing more in the business.
And one, sorry, if I can squeeze one more question there. So if you see in Jeevan Sathi, your number of unique paid customers have gone up quite significantly in this quarter. Average amount realized has also come down. So any specific reason for this kind of movement or it is seasonal?
See, like I said, you know, our focus is on breaking even. So we are doing whatever it takes to sort of break even. Also,
okay.
A lot depends on competition. Sometimes, you know, aggressive schemes are run by competition. They discount in the marketplace. So we are forced to react to that. Sometimes we sort of, it is prudent for us to, go in for discounting to get more customers because we believe that that will help us in the long run. So these are sort of tactics which change from quarter to quarter. So I would not read too much into that at this point in time.
And one last question, sir. Which business other than Naukri you see to become closer to Naukri going forward? Which is second in the run? That is the way I would put.
So, you know, of course, you know, like we discussed Zomato. Zomato is doing very well and that they continue to execute brilliantly. Inside the company, 99acres is the focus. We see a large, it's a large category as we all know. The real estate spend in offline media and on even portals like Google, etc. is huge. And we know that a lot of this spend is going to migrate online and onto the real estate portals with time. It's an exciting category. There are many strong and big real estate companies in other parts of the world. We are a leader in this category. We have, like you know, said, our market share, sort of our traffic share is in the 30s. And we are a leader, but of course it's also a very competitive category. So there are a lot of money has been invested in these in various companies in this category. So for a while, there could be ups and downs in this category, but the long term sort of story is intact. And we believe that if we execute well, this can become a business which is as big as Naukri, if not bigger, over a 5-7 year period. And so we are confident, and we continue to focus on this business inside the company.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot, sir, for taking all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Prince Poda from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. Just a few questions on 99acres. Firstly, sir, you did mention the sales and EBITDA number for 99acres. Can you please, repeat that?
Yeah, so sales top line grew by 20% to about 23 crores.
Okay.
And EBITDA losses were 14.4 crores for the quarter.
So basically, sir, my question is was pertaining to paid transactions, which saw a very healthy growth during the quarter for 99acres at 37%. Firstly, what is driving this higher paid transactions? Is it the paid transactions by the customers or who?
Yeah, these are paid transactions. So these are not number of paid customers. These are
You mean paid listings or paid transactions?
Transactions.
Paid transactions is invoices issued by the business during the quarter.
Okay.
It's just an indicator of how busy the business is. If, you know, that could be a way to look at it.
Okay. So basically, sir, even with 37% increase in paid transactions, the losses have widened. So is it because of the extra expenses the company is having on 99?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, we are investing aggressively in a few areas which are not going to yield revenue growth in the short term.
Right.
So our expenses on branding and, you know, we released a new ad film. We were on television last quarter. We are on television again this quarter. So expenses on marketing and branding have gone up, number one. Number two, we are investing aggressively in, you know, our product development efforts. So we've doubled the size of the tech team. We've doubled the size of the product development team to launch new features and functionalities, which are not going to yield any immediate sort of benefit, but it will help the business in the long run. We've launched a lot of effort to improve data quality. So, like I said, you know, we have a verification team which sort of goes to houses of customers and takes photographs. This team does not generate any revenue, but it will improve the user experience on the site. We have about 300-plus people working in that division. So that's the cost that we're incurring right now. So likewise, we're investing in many areas, which will hopefully sort of help us build a better product and improve the user experience. And, you know, once the market starts to recover, will benefit our business immensely in terms of top line as well.
So, so basically, I'm assuming that the personnel costs, which have gone up by about 320 basis points, that is also due primarily to 99acres. Is that correct? Or,
some because of Naukri as well. Yes, but they've gone up disproportionately in 99acres.
Okay. So that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Ashwin Mehta from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah. In terms of Zomato, if you look at your current cash balance, that's after the Zomato investment would be around 1,050 crores. And you've set aside 750 crores for the 99acres business. So if Zomato decides to raise more funds, as is being talked by the news reports, would you look at retaining your 50% stake or possibly there is also a chance that you let it dilute or sell some of it?
So look, I mean, this is up in the air right now. This is a little speculative. I think there's been no either meeting or discussion on the Zomato board for a further fundraise. As and when we sort of come to that juncture, we'll take a call. We haven't really discussed it. I'm not clear about it right now.
Okay.
But, you know, clearly Zomato is a business that we're very, very optimistic about, and the company is doing well, and the current investors, all of us, remain very, very bullish about it, and we will do what it takes to support it.
Okay. My question was you would possibly have just about 300 odd crores in terms of surplus cash ex of what you require for 99acres. So given the scale of business or the scale of investments that Zomato might require, do you think there is a possibility of a further fundraise as well?
We don't know yet. We'll have to take a call on that, as we go forward. But Zomato really hasn't reached out to us for a further fundraise just yet.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Rohit Kashri from UTI Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I have a few questions. Earlier in the comments, it was mentioned that for 99acres, there is some cost pressures. You mentioned about acquisition cost is higher in 99acres because of irrationality in marketplace. Can you elaborate on what you mean by that?
So, you know, we are in the business of generating responses for our customers, and one of the ways, and we spend a lot of money on marketing to sort of get traffic to the site. A lot of this money is spent on you know, acquiring leads for our customers. So we spend on Google, we spend on other platforms to get traffic. And therefore there's a cost per lead which we sort of pay to get people onto our platform. Not all people, because some people come direct, some come through SEO, some come through paid traffic. What I meant was that the cost of this acquisition is going up because of increasing competition.
So the acquired traffic would typically be either the retail, the consumer, either the home, buyer.
People are looking to search for property. So, now up to a point, it does still make sense to acquire this traffic. Beyond a point, it does not. Now, what happens, of course, is that if we stop acquiring a lot of this traffic, then we are not able to deliver adequate responses to our advertisers. In which case, our yield and our realization from advertisers suffer as well.
Okay.
So that was really the point.
But there isn't any... So if you do not invest over here, then your pricing power from your client would in turn get affected. So you have, but I mean, the client would be the broker or
our relations get impacted because ultimately clients look at what are the lead, number of leads and traffic that we generated for them and that we delivered to them.
Okay. Another question I have is, as I understand, 99acre model works on collaborating with the existing real estate, ecosystem, meaning the developers and the brokers or those kind of individuals, where we work towards to improve their efficiency in some sense. But from what I know is that some of the newer players are trying to disintermediate them. So do you see, when I say disintermediation, I mean they would try to offer services that a broker would normally provide to the consumer. Do you feel that we would have to relook at our model, or do you feel that the current model in which we work in that current ecosystem is fine?
So, you know, there are various models that play out there. There are brokers. So there are, let's say, a couple of 100,000 brokers in the country today. We work very closely with at least about 15 to 20,000 of them. There are developers who sell online themselves. There are developers who have their own sales team. They want leads. There are developers who work with brokers. There are people who go directly to owners and sort of do the transactions. So there are all kinds of models that play out. There's a very large market. So far, our model is to work closely with builders, with developers, with brokers, and to generate more and more leads and more and more traffic for them, which they convert themselves. The conversion process is a very intensive process. You have to handhold the buyer. You have to sort of, help him with the negotiation, help him with the paperwork, etc. We believe it is currently done best by brokers, and it is best left to them. We are not in that space. We are focused more on delivering marketing and, response, marketing solutions to our clients and developing and generating more leads for them right now.
Okay. You mentioned that Urban Spoon is number two in US. Do you have some metric to figure out how big is it? Is it market share vis-a-vis number one player?
So we don't actually, but other than public sources like Alexa and similar web, which don't always give completely accurate data, but other than that, they aren't any sources. But
It's fair to say it's a poor number.
The Zomato team has done its due diligence. They have looked at their Google Analytics numbers and they figured out that they are number two.
Okay, but we will not be able to say it will probably be a very poor number two. Is the right thing to...
But actually, it's actually pretty strong in markets outside New York, outside Bay Area. It's actually pretty strong.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, one final question is... So have the investments into Zomato, are they already via the SPV or no, that is something that you are working on?
No. So this last round was through our wholly owned subsidiary, Naukri Internet Services Private Limited.
Okay, and the earlier investments are still through the standalone entity?
Yes.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
So my first question is on the recruitment business. What gives us confidence that the recruitment business would grow, 18 to 20% for next year, given that on low base, this year the recruitment business has grown by around 18-19%?
No, we actually, like we've been saying in the past, the recruitment business is indexed to GDP growth to a large extent. The IT part of the business is more indexed to the world economy and not to the Indian economy, and that's been growing heavily this year. While the domestic part of the business is more indexed to GDP growth in India. In the past, what we've seen is that every time, GDP growth looks up, we hear a disproportionate increase in our business in recruitment. So when we say that we're hopeful that we can grow the business by 18-20% next year or even higher than that, we are also, we are basically banking on the fact that the economy will continue to improve quarter on quarter more than anything else. So we are, so if the economy slows down and goes back to 4.5% growth, I don't think we'll be able to deliver 20% growth. But on the other hand, if the economy starts growing at 5.5, 6, 6.5% per quarter, year on year, then our growth rates could also improve going forward. So it's really that we're sort of talking about.
What could be the incremental growth from say career site manager and referral hiring app, because those were the new products launched in the last 6 months?
Yeah, so the early signs are encouraging. But for these products to make a big impact to our top line, will take, two or three years, even if they succeed. However, happens as a result of these products is that, we get some strategic benefits, we get more lock-in, we increase the dependence our customers have on us, we get some benefits on the product side, as well. We get more listings. We get to first look at you know, what customers are posting on their site. So there are side benefits which are strategic in nature. The revenue in terms of revenue, you know, the benefits will take 2 or 3 years to sort of start flowing in seriously. But the early signs are encouraging.
Sure. My second question is on Zomato. Sanjeev, if you look at, you know, Dipender's blog, he shared some data on Urban Spoon. And most of the parameters, Urban Spoon is probably, you know, double than Zomato in terms of restaurants, reviews, a mobile app usage or visits. Then why is that this asset, you know, was available so cheap? Or the flip side is, why are the Zomato valuations so high, which we are paying?
Okay. I think in the last couple of rounds, the Zomato valuation was led by, you know, external investors because it's getting to a stage where we felt that on our own we were unable to sort of pay that kind of valuation unless there was external validation. And, you know, it's as far as private companies are concerned, you know, the valuations are always sort of negotiable, negotiated, discussable, you know, and therefore we were unable to sort of justify to ourselves paying those valuations unless there was external validation. Once with external validation, we felt confident, okay, for this is the valuation. So I wanted to tell you that in each of the rounds of Zomato, last couple of rounds, the valuations to an external observer may seem high, but in the round that Sequoia came in, Zomato had 4 term sheets at roughly similar valuations, and they went with Sequoia. And so that was pretty serious external validation. In the last round, Zomato had, 2 competitive term sheets, the same valuation, and they went with, an external investor, VY Capital. Now, as far as why is Urban Spoon so cheap, I mean, we don't know, but there are obviously some hypotheses. Now, even here, I must tell you, this is a contested deal. There were 2 or 3 other bidders. And therefore, when Zomato went into negotiation, they had got a lower price in mind. But eventually, they were bid up to this price. And I think it's, you know, people value businesses on depending on what they perceive the future of their businesses, on a static basis as to what happens with this current management. So, you know, Urban Spoon was seeing declining traffic. Urban Spoon was seeing, low revenue. Urban Spoon did not have a robust sort of business model. The only business model was, Google AdSense. They did not have a field sales force. Urban Spoon was essentially, it was on market leader. These are winner take all markets. I think the original founder had left a couple of years ago, and it was now being run by professional managers. And I think, so therefore it looked like the business wasn't headed places, which is why it, you know, possibly the seller wanted to sell it also. The belief is that under Zomato management and Zomato ownership, this business can, will, and should go places. And that is why Zomato bought it.
Sure, that's helpful. And just one more thing, you know, can we have an interaction with the Zomato management at least once a year, given that, you know, the scale of our investments in Zomato is now very serious?
Yeah, so we, we like to be as transparent as possible and give investors as much access as possible to all of our key investing companies. Having said that, you know, it's a private company and the management team, while they are helpful and open and accessible, you know, they also believe they have work to do. But having said that, yes, we will look at it and we'll get back to you.
Sure. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Power from Medianamo. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was just wondering, since you had mentioned earlier in the call that Zomato has acquired certain products along the way with all its acquisitions that can be leveraged in other markets. What products are these?
So one example is a product that came with the acquisition in Czech, in the Czech Republic. In the Czech Republic, in Prague, the site they acquired is called Lunchtime. And essentially, it focused on lunchtime menus of restaurants in Prague. And, these restaurants did not have a fixed menu, but the most popular sort of menu was the daily menu, which essentially was blackboard and chalk outside the restaurant. Okay, so you could not aggregate that menu and then keep it current for 3 months or 6 months away. It is done in Zomato currently. So for this company had built a system where restaurants would update their own menus daily on the site. Right?
Okay.
And they were in the habit of doing it. So now it's not rocket science technology, but it's just a product idea, and it was a well thought through product in terms of design, UI, navigation. And that product has been, you know, launched in India and the UAE and is and the UK, and will be extended to other markets in the future, where restaurants are given charge of their own page on Zomato, and they can keep making changes. And it need not just be, you know, menu of the day. It could be a whole lot of other things like deals, discounts, anything they want to put up, any content they want to put up. And this is a monthly subscription product, and it's priced at around, you know, $50 a month. And it seems to be getting a lot of traction from restaurants in India and the UAE. A couple of, you know, couple of thousand have been sold already.
Okay. So, you know, the other thing was that the acquisitions that Zomato has been making, have they been stock or cash, and how does this impact your ownership structure?
Well, thus far, they've been all cash.
Okay. Including Urban Spoon?
Yes.
So, Zomato looks like it's going to be a cash-hungry business, right? The rate at which it's expanding and scaling. And, I mean, it's evident that they'll have to raise more money. How are you placed to keep your majority shareholding in the company?
So this is something we'll evaluate as we go along, and, you know, as the, you know, need for money arises by Zomato. And like I said, we've not had a Zomato board meeting since the Urban Spoon acquisition. I guess, you know, future plans, future funding needs will be discussed, and we'll take a call then.
Okay, no, but in terms of the funds that you raised recently, you said that that's going to be, that's entirely for 99acres, but is there a chance that some of that might be apportioned to Zomato as well?
I think we know, you know, we like to keep to the commitments we made in the past when raising the money. So it's unlikely we'll spend that money on any of our investing companies. But we also said that, look, over 2-3 years, if we discover that it's not required in 99acres, we could look at other uses for it, but that's not right now.
Okay, I was coming from that context. The other thing was, could you give a sense of where Jeevansathi is going to go? Because it seems to be pretty stagnant for many years now. Has the market stagnated, and what do you think it's going to take for it to grow? Because the population of the country is growing, but I would assume that the listing should also be increasing.
Well, the challenge in Jeevansathi is that we are a number three player in that category. In certain markets in the north and west, we may be number two, but overall we're number three. So, you know, it's not easy to gain share when you're a number three player. We are focused more right now on profitability, on getting closer to break even, so that we don't have to burn too much money in the business till we discover something which can, you know, help us take our business to the next level. So that's really the focus. The focus is not on growing the business, because growing the business will take a lot of capital, which is something the management and the board is not very comfortable with at this point in time. We are focused more on getting to break even, and we are almost there. We sort of, in the first 9 months of this year, we've lost about 3 crores in that business. In the last quarter, we lost less than a crore, I think. So that's really the focus for the short term. Once we sort of get to that milestone, then we'll figure out what to do with the business.
Okay, now in the past, Hitesh, you've said that you're spending money to grow the business. So in that context, shouldn't it be profitable now if you're just trying to maintain it at a particular level?
So, yeah, so we're not, we're not trying to not grow the business. We are trying to sort of get to break even, which would mean maybe trying to grow the business a little bit and sort of optimize our spending a little bit. So a little bit of a, the point is that the focus is to get to profitability without compromising on the long-term sort of prospects of the business. Yeah, so we're not skimming it and cutting it down. We are sort of trying to grow it a little bit, and at the same time not lose too much money. So that so it's a balancing act.
Okay. Just going back to investments, Sanjeev, do you feel that your bets have now been placed in the market, in the sense, would you be looking at further investments in new businesses, or is this a set that you'll be focusing on?
So we keep looking at new companies. But the truth is, we've not invested in a new company in the last couple of years. Two reasons for that. You know, one is, of course, as we see more and more companies, you know, and by now we've seen sort of 400 to 500 in order to invest in 9, we get better at judging good from bad. Of course, that's debatable. Our bar moves higher. Also, that given the fact where valuations have gone, you know, we understand that a successful company or a succeeding company could require a couple of 100 crores, 300 crores, 500 crores, Zomato has raised much more, in order to break even and scale and all of those things. But when we started investing in 2007-2008, our belief was in 40 or 50 crores, a company can hit break even. Now, given the fact that the sums of money have got much larger when a company begins to succeed, the valuation that we bid up and series B, C, and D can be fairly high valuations, we've been a little conservative. And I think we shall continue to stay prudent and conservative. But having said that, we do look at other investments. But look, we're not likely to double our portfolio in 2 years' time. We can add one, two, or three companies maybe.
Okay. Just going back to one of your investing companies, Mydala, how is that doing? And it had announced some plans to launch international operations about a year and a half ago. Has it raised more money? Is it looking to raise more money? What is the situation there?
So on Mydala, we don't have any announcements to make on fundraising right now. But, the company is scaling up top line nicely. It's got to EBITDA positive. And the truth is that they haven't asked us for more money in the last 2 or 3 years. So obviously they're managing in the current money, which means they're cash positive. So I think that company will sort of, it has pivoted its business model nicely over the last 4 or 5 years. It is not the company, it is not the same model it started out with. The mobile piece is sort of scaling up nicely. So I think there's some good bits there, which leads us to believe that this could become a valuable company.
Okay, and another company we haven't heard much of is a company called Canvera. What is the situation there?
Canvera is a market leader. It's a best-in-class product. It's a good management team. It's a decent margin profile, 45-50% margin profile company. It's growing at between 30-35% top line every year. Okay, so some good signs there as well.
Okay, but it's been an investment that's been made over a subsequent amount of time. I'm just looking at the rate at which Zomato has scaled and the way it's expanding across multiple markets, and I'm just wondering about the other companies in your portfolio and where they stand.
Clearly Zomato is scaling up very nicely, both in terms of traffic and top line, and that's very good news. But, I guess each of our companies will, sort of move at its own trajectory and its own pace. But I would say we are satisfied right now with all our investments.
Okay. What is the regulatory situation with respect to Policy Bazaar? Any clarity on the foreign investment norms in insurance there?
Well, I think the regulatory is, pretty clear that the same norms that apply to insurance will apply to, insurance aggregators. And with this ordinance coming in of 49%, which hopefully will be ratified by Parliament next session, I think that clarifies things a fair bit.
So as of now, it doesn't meet the foreign investment norms in the sense it has more foreign investment than as would have been allowed?
Just 1 second. No, I think we're compliant.
Okay. And how is that doing as a business?
It's growing quite nicely, it's traffic leader by a mile, and that's good news. So I think it is the likely eventual winner in that category.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pinko Papan from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for squeezing me in. I have a question on that point you made about irrationality in the Zomato, in the 99acres business, where you mentioned that the cost to acquire leads are actually getting irrational. My question is on the realization per yields. Do you see a scenario where because of the competition, the realizations also suffer? I'm saying independent of the cost to acquire the leads. Do you see players trying to disrupt the market, and or do you see a race to the bottom in terms of realization?
It's hard to say. See, if realization, if the cost of lead acquisition is increasing for portals, is also increasing for the builders and developers. Like I said, transactions have slowed down. It's harder to sell a property than it was maybe 2 years ago. So costs are increasing for everybody. Whether we can pass on the cost increases in the form of higher prices and higher realization from customers remains to be seen. A lot will depend on what happens to pricing as a result of competition.
So it's very hard to for me to say what others are going to do. But, you know, technically, actually, because it's becoming expensive to acquire leads, even for our customers, we should be able to charge more. But whether we can actually pass on the increases will depend on what others do.
Okay, but so far in the competition, have you seen anyone trying to kind of bring prices or realizations down?
Well, it's not a strategy which somebody is following as such. But yes, you know, off and on, you know, there could be deals here and there which people sort of where people discount to get the deal. But it's, I don't think it's a strategy which any particular competitor is following at the moment. Okay, listen, we sort of price ourselves low and get shares.
Okay, okay.
It could change.
Sorry?
But things could change, you know, going forward. Who knows?
Okay, okay. And on advertising, do you think the current levels are enough or do you envisage some bit of increases there in terms of your spends?
You know, again, it would depend on what, you know, competition does. So if, you know, if all our competitors decide to double or triple our spends, you know, it will be hard for us to not match them because we would want to sort of retain and defend our share. On the other hand, if people are more realistic, you know, then even then their current levels or maybe even slightly lower levels may be more than enough. So a lot of this is going to be competition driven, at least for a while.
Okay. And on 99acres, can you kind of give us a sense of the increase in the sales force that has been added maybe 9 months over 9 months?
Yeah, so I can't tell you how many people we added in sales, but, you know, our headcount in 99acres has doubled in the last 1 year. The total headcount.
Okay, and how much would that be?
So we have about 1,300 odd people working in the 99acres business at this point in time.
Okay, and lastly, in Zomato, do you think they are closer to a potential listing now than you know before, or is there any talk within the Zomato team about a listing in the near future?
I don't think that's a priority at all. You know, I think they have access to. You know, more private capital than they need. Although they, you know, they keep on raising for their activities, but you know, there are enough sort of investors who want to invest more and more. So I think shortage of capital is not going to be a problem that Zomato is going to face. And you know, I don't think the management team wants the distraction of a public market sort of listing right now. And they just want to build out and grow the business and capture traffic share wherever they go as much as possible.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions on Zomato and then just a follow-up on 99acres. Firstly, since Zomato is now pretty much competing in the developed market as well, would it be possible for you to just share the progress that it has witnessed in UK over the past year and a half or a couple of years?
So in the UK, it's been an uphill climb, but I think as far as the restaurant discovery space is concerned, you know, they're getting to be, they've got their act together and they've made very good progress. But the UK market is also a big table booking market. It's a big home delivery market, and those are places where I think Zomato sort of needs to expand and grow. And that, again, is going to be a challenge they're going to face over the next couple of years.
Okay, okay. But any data in terms of the traffic share that you may be monitoring for Zomato in that?
So I don't have the data with me right now, but I think on restaurant discovery, they are either number one or close to number one.
Okay, okay. That's
but restaurant discovery is a small segment of the market. The bigger market is table booking and food delivery, online ordering.
Okay. Okay. And Zomato is in those segments as well? Or
it has just launched a table booking sort of service. It is in the process of launching.
Okay.
Sorry, it is in the process of launching online ordering. You know, so it's going to enter those segments on a, you know, slowly over the next year or so. But let's see how it pans out.
Okay, that's helpful. And secondly, as you said that the monetization models across regions are kind of converging. What would be your sense on the gestation period? As we understand that a couple of regions, your major regions are already profitable for Zomato, but would the gestation period for a break-even in other regions also hence be similar, or it would actually vary across?
So it depends how fast they go to traffic leadership and then subsequently how quickly they're able to execute on sales. The management team is, you know, more bothered about getting to traffic leadership because they say sales monetization can happen even if there's a lag by 3-6 months. It doesn't really matter because eventually they'll do it. Okay, but it's very hard to monetize sales profitably unless you have traffic leadership, in a particular city. And therefore, the big priority is traffic leadership, and then sales monetization, they say, will follow. If it happens plus minus 6 months, it doesn't matter, they say.
Okay. And lastly, on 99acres, while you already addressed it, but just to confirm, the revenue growth over the past couple of quarters, while it has slowed down, it would not be attributable to any kind of change in realization. Would that be the right understanding? It would largely be because of the market activity, because market activity has been low for quite some time now, but the revenue is taking a hit in the recent quarters.
No, so partly it's the market, because which has sort of corrected very sharply in cities like Delhi, Mumbai and Chennai. And partly it's a kind of a sort of a restructuring at our end, which will take another 2-3 months to sort of complete. And partly, like I said, is on account of the massive competition for customers in the market, which tends to become irrational at times.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Srinivas Shishandri from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. Just three questions. Firstly, Sanjeev, can you share some consolidated data on the performance of the startup company like you've done in the past, a 9-month comparison versus how they've done last year?
So we don't have it just yet. We will be getting it in the next couple of months and be able to sort of figure out in a more granular manner as to what kind of top line and bottom line there will be in the investing company.
Okay. Sure. And just a few questions for Chintan. Firstly, the sales and marketing spends was down quarter on quarter. Just wanted to understand why the variation was there.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
The SG&A cost was down a bit quarter on quarter. So just wanted to understand the reason for the variation.
You know, see, we have multiple businesses, and different businesses have different sort of spending plans. And they vary quarter to quarter depending on, there could be seasonality in some business in some quarter. Some businesses want to go on television in that particular quarter, which may not have happened in the previous quarter or in the same quarter last year. So these are hard to predict, and they are lumpy, and they could change from quarter to quarter here.
Okay. Actually, I was referring not to the advertising, but more on the administration and the other costs. So.
Oh, sorry, administration, sorry.
Yeah.
So, in that, basically we used to bear the service tax cost in terms of the negative list sales.
Okay.
So, with effect from 1st October onwards, the tax has been done away with. So, our proportion of sales which were towards negative list, that kind of cost has come down. So, that is why in totality the admin cost is coming down.
Okay. So, there is a less tax provisioning as far as service tax is concerned.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this number is a kind of a normalized number, what we see in the current quarter.
Yeah. So, the effect more or less has happened in this quarter.
Okay. Understood. And secondly, again, a question on the expenses side. If I look at the kind of a IFRS impact of employee stock option, etc., it seems to have gone quite a bit year on year, obviously partly due to stock performance. So just wanted to understand, when does the kind of IFRS become compulsory for you in terms of reporting and moving over from Indian GAAP?
So the Indian accounting standards would become applicable from 1st April 16 for us.
Okay.
And whether the ESOP cost or the other impacts will flow into it, that is yet to be clarified.
Okay, so we don't know yet whether it will be part of the expense line or something.
So not fully, because those, the complete standards have yet to be announced by the institute fully.
Okay, fair enough. And a related question to that is on the ESOPs. Just wanted some guidance on typically how much new fresh ESOP issuance is likely to happen over the next 2 or 3 years on an annual basis. And likely pricing if there is some clarity on that.
Right now we haven't reviewed our ESOP plan, but we'll, I think, do it over the next few months and get back to you on this.
Okay. So, as of now, we should assume it be more in line with what's happened in the past.
In line with past years.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have next question from the line of Mithen Lakhia from HDFC Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Could you
could you provide a ballpark number as to how much an ad film would cost, and do you have a policy to write it off 100% in the quarter in which you shoot it?
Yeah, we so an ad film on an average, you know, the kind of films we do cost about, 75-80 lakhs to make. And then maybe sometimes you spend a little more on editing and producing sort of more versions. And yes, we write it off in the quarter in which you produce.
Fine, that's all
for now. Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand over the floor back to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for his closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Well, thank you so much for being on the call and have a great evening.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of InfoEdge Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.